In the new book, Man of the World, The Further Endeavors of Bill Clinton, veteran political journalist Joe Connison brings us behind the scenes to learn how Bill Clinton rose from the ruinous controversies of his White House departure to become one of the most recognizable and admired figures in the world. He examines Clinton's achievements, failures, and motivations, and why he continues to inspire and infuriate on a grand scale. Again, the name of the book is Man of the World, The Further Endeavors of Bill Clinton. Joe Connison is founder and editor-in-chief of the National Memo and editor-at-large of the Investigative Fund of the Nation Institute, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure for me, Joe.
What did you want to explore that you haven't explored already when it comes to the life of Bill Clinton?
Well, you know, Joe, in 2005, really a long time ago now, Esquire magazine asked me to profile Bill Clinton, who was then 4 years out of the White House and was about to start the Clinton Global Initiative. And I went to Africa with him as part of that assignment. We visited several countries there, and I got to see what the foundation was beginning to do in terms of health and AIDS treatment. And then came back to the States and saw the first Clinton Global Initiative and what it was going to become, and wrote my piece, and it was successful. And I thought, you know, there could be a book in here. And it took a couple of years to clear the decks and persuade President Clinton and his staff that they ought to cooperate with this project. But that's how it began. I thought what he was doing was very interesting. It was different in some ways from what his predecessors had done.
How much of this was a plan that had been in the works for a long time, and how much of his work, of his endeavors post-presidency, was an evolution, do you think?
Well, so he once told me that the post-presidency was a lot like the presidency, in that, for him, there are things you want to do, and there are things that happen. And it's some combination of the two. In this case, I'd say in the case of the foundation, you know, the foundation had existed since about 1997 when they set it up to begin to plan the Clinton Presidential Center and Library in Little Rock and raise money for that. But the mission of the foundation as it exists today and has for the past 15 years didn't really get going until well after he had left the White House. You know, he was looking around, as I describe in the book, he was sort of casting about, and under a big shadow of his departure from the White House under, you know, pretty dire circumstances, and then found that, you know, he decided sometime in 2002 that he was going to try to address the AIDS crisis, and the decision by public health authorities in the developed world that we weren't going to provide treatment to countries that couldn't afford it and the people in those countries, which were then on track to have 100 million people infected and likely die from HIV/AIDS. You know, and one way of looking at that is it would have been one of the great moral crimes of history, and he wrote that in December 2002 in an op-ed for the New York Times. But he and Nelson Mandela and some of the leaders in the Caribbean and others in Africa decided that they needed to do something about this, and that's kind of was the first big mission that was taken on by the foundation. When he moved to Harlem, he also decided that he wanted to do something to help local businesses because he wanted his presence there to be helpful to the community, not harmful. He had been given an incredibly warm welcome there by people in Harlem who loved him, and he knew that by coming to 125th Street, he was creating gentrification, which was already happening there. So he wanted to help the local small businesses survive and thrive there, and he started a project to do that as well.
One of the things that I find fascinating in the book is how these political and philanthropic interests often clash with one another. How ready was he for that and fully understanding what those collisions could be?
You know, I have to say, Joe, I think that neither he nor Hillary Clinton fully understood how difficult that combination was going to become for them. When she was a senator, it really wasn't a big problem. There was one occasion when we had a company called Dubai Ports World, which was owned by one of the royal families in the United Arab Emirates, come to the United States and attempt to buy up ports, the operations, companies that operated ports in several major cities here. And that became, you may recall, a big political issue. And Clinton had, he was quite friendly with the United Arab Emirates government. Those families had contributed money to his library, and he was involved in projects with them, gone to give speeches there. And Hillary was, as the senator from New York then, was opposing the Dubai takeover of these ports as a security issue. So that became a little controversy for a couple of weeks. But other than that, the difficulties that they would eventually face in terms of the politics versus the philanthropy did not become clear until really she started to run for president the second time. It hadn't become a problem partly because so much of the support for Clinton Global Initiative and for other projects in the Clinton Foundation was bipartisan. And by that I mean that Republican citizens, Democratic citizens, you know, corporate leaders from both parties, labor leaders, all kinds of, friends of Clinton who crossed the aisle had participated in the foundation's work. They would come to Clinton Global Initiative every year. Lots of Republicans, some very staunch conservative Republicans, really deeply involved with the foundation's work, as well as Democrats. So I don't think they saw this as becoming the kind of partisan issue that it has become in the last year or so.
When you look at what has happened most recently and Bill Clinton himself talking about the future of the foundation, and quite frankly, how emotional he got over that, what do you think that tells us about his further work and if his wife becomes president of the United States, exactly what role there is for him?
Well, you know, I think people forget, and I wrote about this the other day but in my column, but people forget that the foundation is a lot more people than him and Hillary and Chelsea. There have been thousands of people involved in the work of the foundation, both staff and volunteers, and people from other organizations that have participated in Clinton Global Initiative, people around the world. These are all people who he has formed relationships with in one way or another. And I think he feels that saying goodbye to them in whatever way he will have to do that if she becomes president will be difficult for him. It's a wrenching thing. It's like leaving the presidency was. It's not easy for him at all. So I think there's that, and that may have been an emotional, moment for him when he started to think about that publicly. As far as what he will do, if she's president, he's not the kind of person who, wants to be seen doing what they call curtain hanging, before the election.
Right.
So you don't try to pick out the curtains for the office until you're there. And I think he would be reluctant to say, anything much about what he would do. Secretary Clinton has said that, she would like him to do some work on economic development because I think she feels he has a lot of credibility in that area, given his administration's record. My prediction, which is just based on observing him over these years, is that he will focus some of his attention on the question of climate change and clean energy. He's profoundly interested in that and has wanted to prove the case that a clean energy transition is good for the economy and good for the world for a long time. So I would expect to see him active in that area. And also, Joe, as I describe in the book, there are a number of, I talk about a number of sort of secret diplomatic initiatives that he's undertaken, some of which became known, like his trip to North Korea to rescue the journalists, others of which people, probably don't know about. he's a very talented diplomat. He still has a lot of experience and connections in that world. He still knows many world leaders. They come to see him every year at CGI, and I think the respect that's held for him around the world could serve her in very good stead if she needs another diplomatic hand.
In your conversations with both him and Secretary Clinton, do you get a sense that they are searching and looking to, as you say, I understand, not putting the cart before the horse, but there has to be, if Hillary Clinton becomes the first woman president of the United States, and if Bill Clinton, a former president, becomes the first gentleman, of what those roles are and the historic precedent that they are setting.
Well, it's going to be, they're going to have to wing it a little bit, Joe. I mean, as you said, it's historic because nobody's done it before. And the first woman president, I think, in some ways she has a more set path because there have been, 44 presidents and, so the next one will do a lot of things that the previous ones did, regardless of her gender. The first gentleman is really something new, and I think nobody expects Bill Clinton to be acting as the way that people used to expect the first lady to act, which was a kind of glorified social secretary, and somebody who was, working on the decor of the White House. And Hillary did all of those things when she was first lady, but she also had policy interests. And that was considered a big departure at the time. Michelle Obama has strong policy interests. She's pursued them. It doesn't bother anybody anymore. So I think for the first gentleman, you'll see, much less of the social secretary and interior decorator roles and much more of the policy interest. And I think Secretary Clinton or President-elect Clinton, if she becomes, would not be surprised by that.
So I'm right in understanding that in the conversations that you have had, that is a subject that has not come up of what the role was going to be.
If I had asked that, Joe, I know the answer I would have gotten, so I didn't waste my time asking. No, I know what he would have just said. I can't, I'm not going to talk about that until we win. Because I once asked him several years ago, about Hillary running for president. At the time, she was running for re-election to the Senate in New York, and he said, I'm just not going to talk about that now because we need to win this election first. And so that's I know him well enough to know that's the answer I would have gotten.
What do you think, so knowing him well enough, if Hillary Clinton does not win this presidential election, does he take any blame for that, do you believe?
Well, I don't know if he would take any. He'll certainly receive some from some people, because there are some people who pretty much want to blame him for anything that happens that goes wrong.
What do you think is justified?
Well, I think his role in this election has been pretty constructive, especially compared to 2008, when I think, as I say in the book, I think he did some damage to her prospects in 2008 in the primary. I think this time, he was pretty helpful and stayed out of the way, which was what he was supposed to do and what he should do. And the one day that I spent with him, Joe, on the campaign trail, I may have gone out with him more than once, but the one sort of, day that made an impression on me was we went to Philadelphia, and it happened to be a day when he made news by getting into a little confrontation with an African-American protester at a rally in Philadelphia. You might have seen that. It was all over the news. And they were arguing about Hillary's record and his record. And that was, that was a problematic moment, you could say, for him. And he later said he wished he hadn't wagged his finger at the lady and so on. But that morning, I was with him, and there was no press around, when he met with all of the bishops from across the country of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. If you know anything about the black church community, you know how important those people are. And he had them all in a room at the Philadelphia Convention Center, just him and them, gave them a speech filled with scriptural quotations and exhortations, and basically those people all went home, mostly men. They were all people who knew him already. They were very happy to see him, and he sent them off to help his wife get elected, and they did. She, you know, if you look at her vote in African-American communities across the country in the primary, and I would say if you look at it after Election Day on November 8th, it's going to be substantial. And, you know, so, and that's the kind of work he does, and nobody sees that. It's, but he's out there, you know, helping to sew up those constituencies in ways that are not that visible, but I think important.
So at this stage, given that the subtitle of the book is The Further Endeavors of Bill Clinton, right now, with less than a month to go before the election, we really don't know what those endeavors are. It is a huge question mark.
It is a question mark. I think what you can be certain of is that he'll be able to continue to pursue the interests that he has, because the things that he's pursued in his post-presidency, Joe, are all important concerns of the United States. You know, stemming the AIDS pandemic, you know, helping poor people improve their incomes across the world, building support for better public health systems everywhere, dealing with climate change. These are major issues that the U.S. government and presidents of both parties have been trying to address for years and years. And I think, you know, he hasn't lost a step in being able to do that based on what he's done for the past 15 years.
Well, the name of the book is Man of the World, The Further Endeavors of Bill Clinton. It is published by Simon & Schuster. Joe Connison, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
It was my pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Man of the World, The Further Endeavors of Bill Clinton, by Joe Connison. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.